Hi, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Tony Chen, and this is Fish and Bits, a business and data podcast on the world of seafood. This week, I'm going to do a deep dive into a specific aquaculture disease, winter wounds of Atlantic salmon. As farms in Norway are transitioning into the time period of the year when water temperatures begin to drop, I wanted to share some of my learnings on how farmers today prepare to combat the disease. Winter wounds or ulcers are nothing new to the industry. They've been discovered for almost 40 years, and even some of the causes to them were discovered long ago in the 1990s. That said, the rising cases, which are widely considered related to the increases in mechanical treatments, have brought the disease back to the forefront of conversations and challenges that farmers and the industry as a whole have to continue to find solutions for. From numbers and data reported over the last couple years, it's estimated that the challenge of winter sores accounts for over $750 million, or roughly $8 billion in damage each year. In this episode, I'm going to break down a few different topics related to winter wounds and the impact that it has on the industry. First, I'll go through a review of the history of the disease and some of the key research points that have led to breakthroughs. I'll then discuss the impacts of the disease and the effects that it has on farm operations and their businesses. Then, together, using the knowledge of the science behind these winter wounds and the challenges that they provide to businesses, I'll talk through some of the current options that farmers have, such as vaccines, feed, genetics, phages, and other solutions that they can use to combat the disease. Let's dive in. I want to start out with a disclaimer that this topic I'm discussing today will get into some specific scientific details on fish health topics that I'm certainly not fully qualified to be a source of truth on. I'm not a trained or practicing veterinarian. If you are a farmer and have questions, I would highly recommend discussing this topic directly with them. That said, what I want to do is put a business lens and analysis on top of the disease, since so many of these fish health discussions have business and financial implications behind them. In order to do that, I have to speak on some of my understanding of the biology behind it, but please don't take it all for truth. All right then, what are winter ulcers and why do they even matter? As I've already mentioned, the disease winter ulcers come in many different names. You also see it referenced as winter wounds and cold water ulcers, but typically they all reflect the same challenge. It affects Atlantic salmon, typically in the colder water temperatures, and it was recognized by researchers as a disease in the 1980s. The wounds typically look like ulcers. As the water temperatures rise, farmers typically see the wounds go away on their animals. For the most part, mortality associated with the disease isn't extremely high, and many of the infected animals have shown the ability to recover from having these wounds over time. As I read through some of the history and research associated with the disease, what I found was a timeline of discoveries that taught researchers and scientists more and more about the illness and how to combat it. In the early 90s, it was hypothesized that the wounds were caused by blood clots in the skin tissue that were then disrupted by some sort of mechanical disruption such as a crowding event, and that would expose the wound. And some papers even suggested that high iron in the fish's diet could be the cause that led to these blood clots. Other studies suggested that the wounds could be the cause of a bacteria, but it wasn't until around early 2000 that scientists were able to find the key discoveries that linked the disease specifically to a bacteria called Moritella viscosa. That discovery was key, as it gave scientists the answer to what causes these wounds, then we could develop solutions to try and combat it. In the years since, there have also been other strains of bacteria, such as Tenacia baculum, which can also cause the same wounds. And that's where the science currently stands. It's understood that bacteria is the cause, and there are two types of bacteria that can cause the disease. While bacteria is the cause of the disease, skin lesions to the animal, such as when a farm needs to treat their salmon during a sea lice treatment, are often catalysts that open up the wound, and that then enables the bacteria culture to continue to grow even more. And those sea lice treatments are part of the reason why these winter wounds have become so much more of a problem for the industry. Over the last 10 years, the number of mechanical sea lice treatments has continued to grow, as it's become the standard method for treating fish to meet the sea lice regulations in the country. If you want to hear about how sea lice work and what options farmers have, I discussed that in much more detail in a previous episode. For the context of this episode, all you need to know is that with the growth of mechanical sea lice treatments, so has been the case with winter wounds, and it makes sense. The bacteria is a naturally occurring bacteria in our oceans, and the salmon's two major defenses against it are its skin and its scales. When those skins and scales are injured, you are giving the bacteria a direct access to the animal's flesh. This is no different than my mother's insistence that I make sure to sanitize any cuts I got as a kid, but now our salmon are just getting too many scrapes and cuts. By the Norwegian Veterinary Institute's health numbers in 2022, it was reported that winter wounds were detected at about 433 of over 800 active sites, or just around 50% of the entire industry. At that rate, along with estimates and total losses a farm can experience from the wound, such as mortality or downgrades in harvest quality, it's estimated that these wounds cause the industry $750 million in damage each year. The true numbers are actually likely to be even higher, however, since this is not a notifiable disease that the government tracks consistently, since this is a disease that does not spread from farm to farm. The financial impact from winter wounds can be quite substantial to a business as a result of this. There's the obvious impact that if a wounds are severe enough and the animal dies, but another big issue is the quality of the end product. In 2022, Leroy highlighted that they saw an average decline of fish prices of 18% due to these winter wound challenges. Of course, with this much impact, there's no shortage of interest from supplier companies, the government, and the farmers themselves to want to solve this challenge. And that process to find solution follows the same process that we see in human health or other agricultural practices. The world sees challenges happening with the health of their animals, which then funds research to find infection vectors and the cause of the problem. That eventually leads to the development of vaccines, therapeutics, and other scaled-up solutions to mitigate the challenge. That's what's happened with winter wounds over the last 30 years, but why is it still a problem? Well, the short answer to that question is that while researchers are quite confident on the cause of the problem, none of the solutions currently available are 100% effective at solving the problem. I'll walk you through a few different categories of them. Vaccines, specific feeds, genetics, phages, antibiotics, and operations, and talk about what the challenges are with each one of them. I'll start with vaccines. This is the obvious first solution that would make a huge impact. Compared with shrimp or other lower species like tilapia, vaccines are luckily a solution that is financially feasible in salmon, and there have been many different ones developed for winter wounds. At this point, almost all farmed salmon are vaccinated against Moritella, but the effectiveness has not been great. In the same report from the Veterinary Institute that I mentioned earlier, 77% of farms surveyed that used the vaccines still saw developments of winter wounds. There's also been new research published that suggests that the bacteria has many different strains, and therefore the effectiveness of the vaccines could be strengthened by targeting these specific strains better. For Tenosibaculum, there hasn't even been a vaccine developed for it yet. The next category of solutions is functional feeds. Most of the major feed companies, Biomar, Skretting, and Cargill, they all offer solutions that are intended to boost the animal's health of their skin and mucus layers. And that enables a better, more proactive barrier to reduce lesions, as well as encourage faster recovery if these lesions developed. There are also solutions like probiotics from companies like Privio that also target improved and robust animal health. These solutions also make sense, as you're attempting to boost the immune response capability of the fish, but the challenge here becomes timing and the cost of a preventative solution. These functional feeds cost more, and timing them correctly to get the intended value is extremely challenging. Say, for example, that a farm unfortunately gets hit with a large sea lice outbreak, and the fish then need to undergo multiple sea lice treatments. It's possible that no matter how many preventative solutions are used, there's just no way to avoid the stress that the fish will have to undergo. Another solution is genetics, which also has a lot of practical logic behind it. Let's selectively breed fish that are stronger and recover faster from these challenges. The science makes sense, but the real-world challenge is that these breeding programs in salmon just take time. The genetics companies working on this have only bred roughly 15 or so generations in the entire history of salmon farming, so we simply just don't have the genetic diversity yet to truly solve this problem. The last category of solutions are potentially the most effective ones, but both share challenges along the regulatory and environmental angles, and that's bacteriophages and antibiotics. I won't dive too deep into either of these today, but basically, the limits to antibiotic use and the downstream impacts that they have keep them from being a great solution. And bacteriophages, while they have great potential, they still have a lot of regulatory barriers that keep them from scaling as a solution. I did an entire podcast on phages last year if you want to listen to the full breakdown. When you put all this together, what I see is a challenging situation for everyone involved. The solution and the common thread between everything seems to say the same thing. We know what causes the issue. We know our toolbox of solution. So the best solution is to make sure that we do preventative work, take action before cold temperatures come in, strengthen the health of the fish with good nutrition and smolt quality, and limit the amount of sea lice treatments. In practice, however, when you have to factor in the costs and money associated with these risks, the puzzle gets much more complex. It becomes a very hard decision to overspend on solutions and not see the return on investment if things go south. At the end of the day, that's always a possibility with farming. That said, I do want to make sure and state that while I believe it's a challenge, I'm far from saying that it's not a solvable one. On the contrary, I believe that what we're seeing in the current situation is a lot of research, new projects, and great developments being made. It's just important to place all of the science in perspective with the business decisions that also need to be made using that knowledge. An important discovery that has just happened and was announced over this last winter, researchers from Nofima have identified how the bacteria can establish a colony on the scales of salmon and then sit in between the scales and the mucus layer, even before wounds begin to appear. Discoveries like this may lead to new ideas and approaches for how we can develop solutions that will lead to better management of the disease. And that's all for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode diving into the science behind winter wounds and learned something new. If you did, I would love it for you to help me out and send this podcast to a friend. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.